Imagine being raised by an alien civilization, then returning to Earth as an adult, physiologically human but mentally Martian. This is Valentine Michael Smith's extraordinary prediction in Robert Heinlein's Stranger in a Strange Land. Born on Mars after his mother died in childbirth, Smith was the sole survivor of humanity's first expedition to the Red Planet. 25 years later, a second expedition discovers him, a being with extraordinary powers who views Earth through utterly alien eyes. Smith's introduction to Earth is traumatic. Kept in isolation at Bethesda Medical Center, he struggles with Earth's gravity, unfamiliar foods, and human customs. When Nurse Gillian Boardman offers him water, she unwittingly participates in a sacred Martian ritual, creating an unbreakable bond between water brothers. This simple act sets in motion a journey that will challenge Earth's most fundamental institutions. What makes Smith truly remarkable aren't just his cultural differences, but his superhuman abilities. He can enter trance states that slow his metabolism to near-death levels, recall anything perfectly, and most dramatically, make objects or people vanish completely through Martian discipline. Yet despite these powers, Smith remains childlike in his innocence, a being of immense potential who must learn the most basic aspects of human interaction. When Jill rescues Smith from government custody, she takes him to Jubal Harshaw, a cantankerous polymath who becomes Smith's mentor and father figure. Living in semi-retirement with three secretaries and two handymen, Jubal has withdrawn to his intellectual sanctuary in the Poconos Mountains. Jubal's household becomes Smith's first real exposure to human society, a microcosm balanced between structure and freedom. Here, Smith learns about art, literature, religion, and relationships while adapting to human customs. Jubal teaches Smith to question authority while protecting him from government agents targeting his wealth. What makes Jubal compelling is his contradictory nature, mirroring humanity itself. He criticizes society's follies, yet defends human potential. He claims self-interest, yet risks everything for Smith. When Smith naively asks if Jubal is God, Jubal explains that humans are merely the local yokels, yet he becomes the moral compass guiding Smith's understanding of humanity. At the heart of the novel lies the untranslatable Martian concept of grok, perhaps the book's most enduring contribution to language and philosophy. While simply meaning to drink on the surface, its deeper meaning encompasses total understanding, becoming one with and loving completely. To grok something is to understand it so thoroughly that the observer becomes part of the observed. This concept transforms Smith's perception of reality. In water brotherhood bonds, he doesn't merely form relationships, he fundamentally merges with others. When studying a subject, he becomes it. This perspective makes Smith incapable of hatred toward those he groks, as harming them would be harming himself. Groking represents a departure from Western dualistic thinking, where human philosophy separates mind from body and self from other. Martian philosophy sees these distinctions as illusions. This worldview eliminates misunderstanding and removes the basis for conflict. Have you ever felt that moment of perfect understanding with another person where words become unnecessary? That's the beginning of grokking. The Martian concept of water sharing transcends ordinary relationships. On Mars, where water is precious, sharing water creates a bond more sacred than any Earth relationship. Water brothers form an unbreakable link, making betrayal unthinkable. The water ceremony's power lies in its simplicity, the willing sharing of water, and the phrase, "May you never thirst." This act fundamentally reshapes participants' worldviews. Water brothers cannot lie to each other, cannot harm one another, and must share all possessions freely. As Smith establishes water brotherhoods on Earth, these relationships become his church's foundation. Unlike religions built on abstract beliefs or hierarchies, Smith's Church of All Worlds builds community through direct personal connections and shared experience. This sacred connection extends to sexuality. Through Smith's Martian perspective, Heinlein portrays human sexual mores as arbitrary cultural constructs. In Smith's church, sex becomes a sacred communion rather than a source of shame, with ritual nudity and free love as expressions of water brotherhood. What distinguishes this from simple promiscuity is its spiritual dimension. Physical intimacy becomes an extension of water sharing, a way to grok another completely. Sex transforms into worship, acknowledging the divine in each participant. After experiencing Earth's religious diversity, Smith creates his own Church of All Worlds, blending Martian philosophy with human spiritual needs. Its central tenet, Thou Art God, embodies the radical concept that divinity exists within each person, not as an external entity. The church features 9 concentric circles, with deeper teachings revealed as members progress inward. Outer circles maintain conventional religious structures, while inner circles teach Martian language and philosophy. The innermost circle practices water sharing, communal living, and develops psychic abilities. Unlike traditional faiths emphasizing belief in unseen deities, Smith's church offers verifiable experiences and practical benefits, improved health, telepathic abilities, and profound connections. Members demonstrate healing abilities, increased empathy, and direct perception of reality. Smith's religion threatens established institutions precisely because it delivers what they merely promise. When members develop telekinesis, heal through mental control, or experience genuine spiritual communion, traditional religions appear hollow, explaining the fierce opposition Smith encounters from society. Smith's journey culminates in a Christ-like martyrdom that transforms him from teacher to legend. After his church burns and he's arrested, Smith faces an angry mob with extraordinary composure. Addressing them as beloved brothers, his clothes mysteriously vanish, a metaphor for absolute truth and vulnerability. Even as violence strikes him, Smith maintains serenity, speaking words of unity. Thou art God, and I am God, and all that groks is God. This sacrificial death isn't defeat, but the calculated culmination of Smith's mission. He has grokked that humans learn most profoundly through dramatic symbols and emotional narratives. His willing martyrdom transforms philosophical teachings into powerful mythology, ensuring their survival. After death, Smith joins the Martian Old Ones. In his final earthly moment, whispering, Thou art God, to a simple grasshopper, he demonstrates his ultimate teaching, recognizing divinity in all existence. Smith created something that transcended both Martian and human cultures, rather than simply importing one to the other. His Church of All Worlds blends Martian spiritual discipline with human emotional capacity, especially love. When he discovers laughter, absent on Mars, he recognizes it as humanity's unique response to suffering, finding joy even amid pain. Through Smith, we see our culture through alien eyes, questioning assumptions and imagining how we might appear to a true outsider. The novel invites us to grok rather than merely understand, recognizing divine potential within ordinary human experience. In our divided world, Smith's greatest lesson may be that true understanding requires temporarily abandoning our certainties to experience reality through another's perspective. Only by becoming strangers to our own assumptions can we truly grok human diversity and discover that beneath our differences, we are all water brothers sharing this strange journey.